Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm here with Anderson, and we're talking through your sex and relationship emails. Topics include what to do when your girlfriend doesn't like giving oral, penis size concerns, rules for an open marriage, how to know if your masturbation habit is a problem, and when to make that fantasy a reality. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
You know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. You can check out all of our podcasts. You can easily check them out if you go to sexwithemily.com/podcast for our entire show archive, which you will enjoy. You can subscribe to our newsletter. You can check me out on social media. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter are all at Sex with Emily. And we love when you subscribe to the show. And if you want to, which feels great, review us on iTunes. Super helpful. It's awesome because I hate people with bad recommendations and those come up first. Like years ago, people didn't like things. So, right, Anderson? I'm here with Anderson.
What did you just say? You just said a bunch of things.
I said that people review the show sometimes in the past, like 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Right.
8 years ago, when I like had to charge for a while, I tried everything to keep it afloat.
You had
to charge? I pay people.
Oh, you had to be behind a paywall
for like a month.
Who told you to
for
do
a year?
That?
Well, I did. Yeah. It was like 8 years ago, and I was like, I'm not making any more. Six, whatever. People just write things, but if you love the show, it helps. Go to iTunes and do that. I'm here with Anderson and his son, which is going to sound really weird because it's a sex show, and he's got an 8-year-old son on his lap.
Atticus. He's 8 months old. Let's change it. It'd be a lot worse if he was 8 years old.
8 months. Yeah. 8 months.
8-year-olds probably shouldn't be in the room for this.
No. This is totally healthy, even though it seems like it's not.
Because we say shit, fuck, piss.
See, you can say
show.
Shit, fuck. Get it out of your system right now with the baby. Oh, he's so cute. Okay, everyone. Thank you for listening. I'm here with Anderson.
Hi.
What else?
Oh. Sorry to cuss so strongly right off the bat. That didn't feel right.
You're making me cuss.
I apologize.
You're making me cuss.
My apologies.
Please don't make me cuss.
Yes, I'm here with my son. I'm here with my son. This is what happens when you follow the advice of Sex with Emily. You get kids.
Unless you use protection and you don't want kids.
Right.
And you, which some people don't, which is totally fine. And what
else? It's so weird that something so innocent and sweet and cute can come out of like dirty, dark, nasty sex. You know what I mean? It is still funny when you look at the population, you look at how many people there are, and you just think like every single one of those people is a product of a sexual act.
Exactly.
It's weird.
It is weird. It is really weird.
You don't think about that.
No, you really don't until you have your own little baby there. So speaking of sex.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you in a while.
Yes.
And started having sex again.
you started having sex again? Good for
not
you.
I was not having sex.
You weren't for a while.
I wasn't. No. It wasn't like on purpose. I wasn't like
I remember you talked to me. You were like concerned. You're like, you know, I'm not. I do this show, Sex with Emily, and I'm just not having sex.
Well, because I've been having. Okay, let's say been doing it for 12 years.
You're like doing a movie podcast and not watching movies or something.
I know, but here's the thing. Here's why it was so good for me. Because for 11 years I was having sex. It's 12 years of the show. The 12th year, not as much sex.
Not as much.
So you know what I did, which it wasn't like, oh my god. I wasn't trying to have sex, and I could not have sex. Let me just put that out there.
She would have her random, like, go down to Mexico and bang her masseuse.
Oh, I did bang the masseuse in Mexico.
And she talked about that.
I'm not like, I wasn't like a born-again virgin last year. No. Let's just say that. But I realized
what was his name again?
We had to change it.
You forgot his name?
Yeah.
Oh, you changed it.
We changed it.
To Carlos.
He was so cute. I loved him. I almost moved there.
You almost moved.
But then I forgot about him. You know, they say it takes half as long as the time you were someone to get over him.
Yeah.
And I was with him for like 4 hours.
All right.
So
2 hours?
I was over him 2 hours. Yeah. Probably after I told you the story. No, that was hot sex though. But since then, yeah, I've just started like dating, and I realized that like all the stuff that happened in the last year to me, like doing my somatica sex therapy training and all this stuff I've done, is sort of really coming in handy, because I feel like I've just learned a lot about myself and about not having sex, and then feeling like when I am having sex, it's actually better. And
so that's good. You can tell the difference, because you're always preaching everyone should have more sex. You never regret having sex. It's like going to the gym. You never go, oh God, why did I just go to the gym? You say, you equate that to having sex too. Now you can actually, you know, practice what you preach and understand the difference of not banging and what happens and how it changes your mood.
It affects my mood. Exactly. I have to
Say that you didn't have sex for a while for a purpose of a study.
Yeah, it was a study. And in fact, it was a full-blown study where I had sex, and it was really good sex about a few weeks ago. Not that I hadn't, but obviously I've had sex, but I'm saying this sex, all this stuff unleashed, and I feel like my entire life has like changed. I've had clarity. I've had focus. And I do believe that when you don't, not that I wasn't masturbating and stuff, but there's something about like co-creating with somebody and having a sexual experience that a lot of stuff just gets released and gets clear in your head. And like, we need sex. Not all the time, not every day, but when you have it, it's great.
Right.
So that's me. How's your sex life? It's okay, you don't have to answer. You've been 8 months
It's fine. Actually, we're going to try and have another child here probably within the next 6 months. We're going to hope to get pregnant, so we're going to have to ramp it up.
You're going
to
do that again?
We don't want to have an only child.
You've got to take some lube. I get it.
We want to be able to like leave them alone. Like we did, like we had one dog and then we got two dogs, because it's like you don't feel guilty when you leave them alone. So
that's why you're going to get it, so they can talk to each other?
We can put them in a room together, close the door, and then
maybe
we can
easier to get a babysitter.
Have adult time. Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, but I think that's awesome. I think you will get pregnant. It'll be great. Well,
thanks, Em. Thanks for the vote of confidence.
No, I know you will.
You ever do an episode where like best ways to have sex and to conceive?
Yeah, we actually have a lot of blogs on our site now about like pregnant sex and stuff like that.
Really?
But to conceive.
No, to conceive.
Oh, like are you supposed to be on top, on the bottom, like the lube that you can use and stuff? I've never done a show on that, but I've talked about it. Would you like some tips?
No. I the only thing I know is from watching The Big Lebowski, where there's a scene where she's bringing her knees up to her chest after the dude bangs her, and she's saying that that's the best way to conceive. I don't know if there's any truth to that. It's a movie.
I don't think that you should probably take sex lessons from
hanging
the
one
Lebowski.
Of those upside down things right after you have sex. Yeah. I don't know.
I can give you some advice on that. Okay, but let's get into some sex in the news, Anderson.
Let's do it, sex in the news.
Because I'm glad you're here, because it's about men. Mm-hmm. Apparently, guys are less sexually satisfied than women at the start of a relationship. I would think that everyone's pretty satisfied at the start, more than not, because it's the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
It is weird. So women say that 74% of women are like really satisfied, only 51% of men. And then it switches, okay? 6 months to a year, the men are like way more satisfied, women a little less satisfied, and then it switches again. Women are more, like, so it goes down 2 to 3 years. The doctor, this is out of the UK.
Always the UK.
2000.
They're obsessed with
sex. I'm sorry. It was 1,000 Americans and 1,000 Europeans. And so basically they're saying that the percentage of sexually satisfied women drops significantly, falling to 47% after 6 months. Men's increases. So what does it say to you? But I think it all boils down to everything that we talk about, and that is communication. I think that there's a lot of unfulfilled needs that people have in a relationship, and I think that when people don't know how to talk about what makes them feel good and what they want, they get dissatisfied, resentment grows, and you just stop talking about it, and then after a while, no one's satisfied. You see the last graph on here? It shows that after 4 years, women are 48% satisfied, men 37%. It just goes down.
It goes up, down, up, down, up,
yeah,
down.
But then it just goes down, down, down.
But then by the end, it goes, I'm just surprised that men are not, because usually it's believed that guys are always happy with a new partner, right? And women, yeah. I would have inversed those if I had to guess. So that's surprising. It's weird. I wonder what that is. You know what? Maybe it's just going purely off of satisfaction because men are, no, because less men are satisfied, right? Women are, because it takes a guy a while to learn how a woman works, too. Every woman's
well,
different.
That is another study that came out a few months ago that said that men typically are, you know, if a woman's not satisfied, that to them, like, sex isn't as great, and women need more safety, comfort. They need, you know, to be in a place with someone where they feel like, and it takes time for a guy to learn the body, so to learn a woman's body. Right. So that's why you guys, you could talk about women, your vaginas are like snowflakes. I feel like you need to start talking about sex right away. I don't understand why, like if you were at a restaurant, you're on first date, second date, you'd be like, you order for yourself what you want. Like you're not like, you can order for me. You know I like steak. Mm-hmm. Why should he know what you want in the bedroom? And why do we play this game of like, he should be a mind reader and he should know when they just don't. And it takes people never realize this.
But at the same time, like if you're like on a second, third date, having sex for the first time, and the woman's like, or the guy for that matter, like, do it like this and do it like that. It's like, it'd be a little bit weird if you're that forceful. I think you got to kind of ease into it, right? I'm a big fan of speechless communication in the bedroom.
Okay. How would you do it?
You just, like, if you're a guy, you pay attention to their breathing, to the lady's breathing pattern, and, you know, what she's into, what's affecting her. You really pay attention to her, yeah.
You're not just flailing around, touching how you do. Like, I think that a lot of guys are so excited they're having sex or they're with a new partner and probably nervous.
If you want to impress her, just pay attention to what she's doing and how what you're doing to her and how it's affecting her.
And, like, kiss her neck and tease her and do all that stuff a lot longer than you think you should.
And you really shouldn't be selfish, especially at first. You shouldn't be like, I'm going to do what I saw on a porn net last night to this woman.
Don't do anything you saw
on porn.
Don't
do anything ever that you saw in porn. Unless it's lesbian porn, then do everything you saw in the lesbian porn.
Exactly. Yeah. Only do what you saw in lesbian porn. But as far as, like, if you're with a new partner, I really think that being with a woman, which I think are a little more complicated, that you really do just want to, like, take your time, go 5 times slower than you think you should with the part, and just keep kissing, keep touching, like doing all that stuff. And then the more that you know, pay attention, get to know someone,
trial and
I think
error.
That they're in their head and they're like, I got to take off her clothes. I got to do this and then get her pants off. It's like, we are not turned off.
Now, once you do figure out what works for speaking as a guy and you're a woman, once a guy figures out how you do work and how to start your engine and how to finish you off and whatnot, is it all right if he does kind of the same routine over and over again there, if it works? Or is
if it
he
works
expected
to bring you to orgasm?
Yeah. Or is he expected to try different routes?
I think it depends on the person. But if you assume that they should just do that, they might not. They might not have the creativity. They might not know what to do differently. And that's why masturbation.
Well, like I'm saying, okay, like let's say that there's a couple, they're together, and the guy figures out that she, you know, you got to go A, B, C, then D, and that works for her. Is it okay as a woman for the guy to do A, B, C, and D the vast majority of the time moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, forever and ever and ever. I think that
forever's a long time, but, you know.
I think it depends on the person. I think I get bored of different things all the time. Yes.
I guess my question was, like, are you more concerned about the end game or the journey to get there?
It's the journey.
Yeah.
It's the journey, man. Course, yeah, it's not about the destination.
Yeah.
Well, I think that you put effort into sex, and also I think what you want changes, and the more comfortable that you get being with one person, it changes.
Go further down that.
People don't know how to do it. They're afraid of getting rejected. Yeah. They're like, I would touch her left nipple and her right nipple. I don't know.
Is that where the rabbit hole term comes from?
No.
Because people that bang like bunnies and bunny hole.
Get down the rabbit hole?
I hope not.
Rabbit vibrator?
Now every time I hear bunny rabbit hole, I'm going to get a picture of rabbit's vagina. Great.
I'm glad that Easter's gone. No. okay, so that's it. Talk about, communicate. That's like my best advice for you. I could just stop now my whole career and just tell you to talk. But I'm not going to stop. I will
trust
never
that
stop.
Study. I don't trust that study.
Why?
Because I think that guys are probably more, less, more. Wait, what does it say again?
2,000. Women are like 74% of satisfied and men 51%. It's not saying they're off cheating.
Yeah.
It's just not quite what they want yet, I guess. And I think for guys, it's like, the newness, I think they would be psyched, but maybe...
I would think that would be reversed, yeah. I would think that more guys would be excited about a new partner and women would be like, I'm not sure about this yet.
I think it's because it takes women, this woman say, a while to warm up and to actually be comfortable in their bodies and to be open with a new partner for many women. And so guys aren't satisfied, but they get more satisfied because they stay with the woman. The more comfortable she gets with him and the more safe she feels, she's more connected to him and he feels better too. And then she's like, I'm bored, and it drops down 47%. That's what I think. I think it takes women a little while. Why is that weird?
It just is.
You're weird. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to give a shout out to our sponsors, you guys. Thanks so much for supporting them. And we love our sponsors, and we love you. You guys should totally know each other. And thanks for listening to the show. We'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. All right. We just say goodbye to Anderson because little Atticus had to come and take a nap. But I love that he's like a working dad. I mean, he's like a stay-at-home dad, but he's still working and coming here. So now we're going to go ahead with the emails. Hey, Emily, my name is Sean, and I'm 29 years old. Due to self-confidence and religious reasons, I've only been sexually active for a little over a year. I've been in my current relationship during this time, and I'm absolutely in love with her. One of my favorite things to do is going down on my girlfriend. However, she rarely reciprocates. After listening to your show, I decided to ask her about it, and she said she just doesn't like giving oral. My body issues immediately made me think my size was to blame. I'm not breaking any records here. Is there anything I can do to make oral more enjoyable for her? I manscape my groin and clean it daily. I was just curious if there's anything else I should be doing. Thanks for answering my question, and I look forward to hearing your answer. P.S. I heard your voice in my ear already saying, flavored lube, so I'm purchasing some. Thanks, Sean, 29, Indianapolis. Hey, Sean, flavored lube. No, yes, flavored lube is helpful, but here's the deal, Sean. First of all, I think that men we use any excuse to blame their penis for problems. And there is nothing wrong with your penis, your size, anything. She's with you. She loves you. The deal is she's just not that into oral sex, which might be true, but I'm sure it has nothing. She's not discriminating against your penis. It could be because she's uncomfortable with it. She had a bad experience. Says she doesn't like it. Maybe she might, feel insecure about her ability to perform oral, but you can't make her, do oral, and you can't like make her like it. But what you can do is you can kind of try to understand where she's coming from, like work backwards and be like, I get that you don't like it. You don't want to make her feel guilty about it because no one likes being guilted into sex. But I think that you got to just, to me, that'd be a deal breaker, to be honest, if someone like never wanted to perform oral. So I think you got to find out what that's about. And I think for a lot of younger women, I don't know how old she is, but you're 29. I'm assuming she's in her 20s. We're not born with these skills, okay? So it's something that takes, we've got insecurities around it. So find out. Be like, well, what is it that you don't like about it? This is this whole talking thing we're talking about. So I'm just curious, is there anything I could do? Yes, flavored lube. I don't know if it's a taste thing. If she said it's a taste thing, that might help her. But maybe it's a she's not sure what you like thing, or someone once told her she was really bad at it. So we got to get to the bottom of what that is. And I just have to let you know that it's really, again, not about your penis size. Just like women, we tend to think like a guy didn't call because we gained 2 pounds, or he noticed that like my left boob is bigger than my right boob, and it never has to do with these things, okay? So I mean, in all the years I've been doing the show, like, I can't tell you, like, I hear more from, you know, people who are like, his penis is too big and it hurts, than I have, like, his penis is small, I broke up with him, I hated sex with him. I mean, that is the truth. So I think it just comes down to, you know, talking to her and finding more about this. But also, you said, you've been active a little over a year, so, and you're in love with her. I just want you to be careful here. That was a trigger for me because it's your first relationship. You've waited a while to have sex and you're madly in love. And so I just want to make sure that this is based on really who she is and who you both are together, and you're evaluating your relationship. And it's not because you've waited long to have sex or it's your first relationship you've been in. Just because it is doesn't mean it's necessarily the woman that you have to spend the rest of your life with. So I just want you to check in with your emotions around that because, you know, again, it's your first relationship, your first sex partner. And so I think what you could do is, and what could help you figure out, is to start talking about sex, what she likes, what she doesn't like. Maybe there's something else she wants. So start doing that. I talk about that a lot on the show and I think you'll be fine. But I'm telling you, your penis is fine. All right. Hi, Emily. I love the show and I've been listening for about 6 months, basically a week after I had sex for the first time, just to hear other women to see if I was normal, LOL. About 7 months ago, I started a relationship in college and it's amazing. Both of us are pretty mature for our age and it's a very serious relationship. He's from France, so we're in a long distance relationship for the summer. We have really good sex, and after listening to more shows, I've learned a lot about my body and I orgasm quite frequently. How can I keep our sexual relationship interesting long distance? I'm very open-minded. However, new things take time for me to ease into. I like the idea of sexting, but I don't know how to initiate it, and I don't want to sound silly. Thank you, Ashley, 19, from Kentucky. Ashley, you're awesome. I love that the show has helped you have more orgasms and understand your body, and now you're ready to communicate with your long-distance guy. So, the thing about a long-distance relationship is, okay, you're 19, and how's your French? I'm just curious, because that's going to matter, too, if you're going to be able to sext him. I'm assuming it's cool. But the good news is that we've got FaceTime, we've got Skype, we've got all these ways that you guys can connect, because one of the problems used to be when you're in lock, and it's so much better now, but when you're in a long-distance relationship, one of the things that we really miss is, like, seeing our partner and that intimacy. And strangely enough, being able to see them, even though you can't, like, touch them or smell them, you can see them and you can talk and you can communicate. So that can really be a hot way to keep the communication going, and try some, like, FaceTime sexy time, because you guys can, you know, look at each other, talk about things. You could get a toy. And here's the cool thing. There's so many great toys out there right now that are, like, app-based. Like, you could use the app and he could control the vibrator while he's watching you. So WeVibe has a few using their WeConnect app. It is so cool. You have to see this, because you could get a toy like the Rave or the Nova, and he could download the app as well on his phone, and he could, like, control the vibration. So you could be using it inside of you and he could be watching, and that could be super hot. I don't know if you guys are there yet, but they also have messaging back and forth on it. Like, it's a pretty cool app. You can even use it even when you're not on the phone together. Like, I mean, if you're, it could be really hot. He could still use his app and you guys could be talking on the phone if you don't want him to watch. And then that could be really hot for him to hear you on the phone, like giving you an orgasm, but he's not here. So that's one thing. The other thing about sexting is, it's not like there's a right or a wrong. The best thing is, like, just to really use it as a tool to kind of talk about things that you remember. Like, you're not in the same city, you're not looking, you know, in his eyes, and you can use it. It sort of gives you a little bit of anonymity that you can, without having to see him, ask for things that you want. So you could even explain things that have happened in the past, like, that was really hot the day you left and we were, like, making out, and I keep thinking of your tongue and how your hands felt on my body. Or you could tell him about stuff that you look forward to doing, or, like, I can't wait to be touching you again or tasting you. And so really, that's a great place to start, is describing things from the past, things that you want in the future, things that have happened. And I think that, you know, that's a good way to get, use your own voice and see where it goes, see how he responds, and then you'll start to develop your own language. But it's the kind of thing that comes from practice. So I would just say practice with it. And also, yeah, just let him know, like, see what he's up for. But I would say that you guys should just need to stay connected, keep talking. And even if it's just like FaceTiming, all that stuff, because that intimacy is hard to keep going when you don't actually see each other. I also have some blogs on my site that would be really helpful. There's an Ask Emily called Intimacy and Long Distance Relationships. I go over all this stuff and go in the distance, keeping the sex live no matter what. So check those out on my show. And good luck to you. I'm so glad that you're having awesome sex. And remember, while he's gone, you can still keep masturbating and keep having more orgasms and figuring out your body. That's something you can report on. I fantasized about you today, and here's what happened. So you've got this, Ashley, and good luck with the relationship. Hi, Emily. My husband and I have been married for 25 years, and we have been in an open marriage on and off for 15 years. When we opened our marriage, we started off with a unicorn, a woman we met at the gym of all places. A unicorn, by the way, is the woman like who's typically the third in a relationship who is not attached. We played alone and together with her. She was single, so there wasn't any complication from her side. Lately, with having more time, our kids moved away, I started chatting with a guy friend, just a friend from way back. Over time, and with my husband's push, I asked if he wanted to play. My friend is vanilla and married, but in a sexless marriage. It was scary at first, being that it was my first guy in over 25 years. We now meet once a week during the day at my house, but we have this fear that he'll get caught since he's married. This has added a lot of spice to my marriage, as my husband knows, but I feel bad. My male friend is cheating on his wife. What's your feeling on an open marriage and playing with a married person? Anne, 50, Florida. Okay, Anne, wow, there's a lot going on here. So first of all, kudos to you for being married 25 years and having successfully being in an open relationship for 15 years. I'd love to have you call on the show one day and talk about how you've made that work, because that's pretty amazing. And that your husband's cool with you having sex with another guy is also a really cool thing, and I'm sure your relationship is still pretty healthy. The thing is obviously this has to do with like your individual like morals and values and stuff like that, but my feelings on an open marriage and playing with a married person, not great. Just like how you don't feel great about it. I mean, what I would tell your guy friend, if he called me and he's in a sexless marriage, I would say, go back to your relationship and really, really work on the sex life, like intently work on it. So you know that, you know, who knows what could happen. You can bring the sex life back. You can work on it. But if you can't and he tries really hard, doesn't work, then you should leave. But I think to cheat is kind of a cop out, and that you're kind of in your mind going, well, of course cheating is more fun than your sexless marriage, but really he owes it to his wife, his long-term relationship, to work on it. So that's my feelings on it. I get that you're having fun with this guy, playing with him. I'm not judging you at all, because as you know, I'm the least judgmental person on the planet, but I feel like you're having a lot of emotions around this, and it's going to stop being as fun for you in a while. And what if she finds out? Because people always find out these days. They just do. I'm telling you, every day someone's finding out that there's partners cheating. And do you really want to have, you know, do you really want to be that person? Like, do you want to have to deal with that and his emotions and all that? And so, you know, I get that it's fun. I get that he's someone you know, but now you know you like being with another man. I'm sure you could find other men that are single that would be just as fun to play with. So, Anne, do what you will with that. And good luck to you both, and just keep talking about it. Okay, Anne, that's what I got for you. And yeah, you're going to have to make your own decisions on this one. But just know that, you know, this could end really messy, and I don't want you to have to deal with that. But, you know, you'll do what you have to do, and I think you probably know the right answer. So you'll know what's right for you. Thanks, Anne. I appreciate hearing from you. Okay, another email. Hi, Emily. I've been masturbating a lot lately. I can't stop doing it, even when I'm having a conversation with a woman over social media. I feel good when I do it, but anxious that maybe I should calm down. I don't want to put women off with my frequency. Also, I've not had sex in 11 months, even though I keep thinking about sex. So my question is it healthy to masturbate every day? Should I be doing something else to orgasm / sexually satisfy myself? Michael, 23, North London. Okay, Michael, you're 23, you're masturbating a lot lately. Nothing wrong with that. Chatting with women over social media, I think guys do that all the time. So here's the thing. When masturbation becomes a problem, it's when there are consequences, right? So if you feel like it's inhibiting you or prohibiting you from meeting women, getting out there, actually having sex in the real world, and you can't keep a job or you're losing your relationships, then we have a problem. But it is healthy to masturbate every day. And so I think that's completely healthy, and don't beat yourself up for masturbating every single day. Like I talk about it all the time, and it's completely part, it's a normal part of a healthy sex life. So I'm wondering why you haven't had sex in 11 months. And if you're chatting with women on social media, maybe you need to just ask them out and say, why don't you meet me for a beer tonight? Because it sounds like you're spending a lot of time at home chatting on social media and inside your head worrying and beating yourself up. So I'm going to tell you, you're not doing anything wrong. Masturbation is healthy, but also I think it's time to go out there and start meeting people. So, you know, you can do this, Michael, but only you know if there is a problem with this. So I just kind of laid it out for you. If you're having consequences, which sounds like you're getting anxious and all that, then maybe you should just kind of take a break and force yourself to go out and meet some people. And I think this is all going to sort itself out. Okay, thanks, Michael. All right. Hello, I enjoy listening to your podcast. I work with a woman who is a hot librarian type, and I've worked with her for over 10 years. I've never tried anything with her because I'm married with kids and she's also married. I have recurring thoughts of this fantasy, renting a hotel room and leaving work with her and spending 8 hours naked with her and having sex. Any suggestions on how I deal with this fantasy? Thanks in advance, Daniel, 45, Utah. Hey, Daniel. No shame in your fantasy game. No, here's the thing. There's a lot of different reasons why we have fantasies, right? A lot of them we don't actually want to happen in real life. And I would say that you're married with kids and you're not the first guy to have a fantasy about a woman that you work with and about, you know, an elaborate fantasy. So I think how you deal with it is that you take this fantasy and you get a babysitter for your kids for the night. Maybe you've parents in town that could watch her, and you get a hotel room with your wife and you guys go out of town for a day or two or even a few hours. Why don't you recreate this fantasy with your wife before you deal with the woman at work, which would just not end well. You work with her and it would be a disaster, which, you know, if you want me to finish the fantasy for you, I know that's a buzzkill, but basically her husband would find out, your wife would find out, and then your marriage would be over and you'd probably have to leave your job. So the good news is that fantasy is also a part, including just like masturbation, it's a huge part of a healthy sex life for men and for women. Having fantasies, you know, again, a lot of we don't want to share. I'm not saying you need to share this with your wife. Please don't. But that fantasy, like hotel sex is hot for a reason. It's because it's new. You're getting out of your comfort zone. You've probably been having sex with your wife for over 10 years in the bedroom. And that becomes boring after a while. Like everything does. Like if you worked out every day the same way and you're running on the same track for 10 years, you'd be bored. You wouldn't want to work out anymore. So I'd say all this energy with the fantasy, you took the time, you wrote in, I'm sure it's consuming you. I get it. But I would say, what could you do? And what have you learned on the show that you could put towards your marriage and towards your relationship and work on it? It could be like literally a few hours in a hotel, a night away, going shopping to a sex toy store and getting, like, you know, a new toy or a blindfold or something a little bit different. You just need to do that and you can do it. I know that you've got kids, but I'm telling you, people with kids also have fabulous sex lives. It just takes some work, but it's a really fun kind of work, Daniel. So that's what you got to do. These are some great emails, everyone. I love hearing from you. Thank you so much for getting in touch. Welcome to all my new listeners. Thank you to Anderson, who had to run off and be super dad. And thank you to my amazing team. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.